Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201. Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. That's what I get for trying to use the stapler. You can always hear it, right? You hear me when I staple stuff. I know you do. The news yesterday, I'll dive right into it. The news yesterday afternoon, no good, volatile. Yeah, this, I guess it opens up the prospects for the sprint division, but volatile, with a hairline fracture, right front cannon, and retired. File this a little bit under, you know, too fast for their own good. And Volatile, who really, you know, the comparisons to Mattioli were, you know, were easy to make. But probably, you know, not probably fully, this is a little bit less of a complete resume, but he's going to go and stand at Three Chimneys, Son of Violence, of course, and partnered, you know, as part of the campaign this year with Phoenix Thoroughbreds, and of course Phoenix's involvement too. Some questions, frankly, on that front, too, given what's gone on internationally. Just occurring to me that the situation that they're dealing with, being essentially ruled off increasingly in Europe. The retirement, as Dave Grenick noted, they're taking entries tomorrow for the Vosburgh, which perhaps send some people maybe changing some plans if they were avoiding a confrontation here with Volatile. It's a win and you're in for the BC Sprint. So it'd be very interesting to see what happens because of this. If we get some new faces, Dave mentioning that Firenze Fire, T Loves a Fight, Share the Ride. There was interest from Funny Guy and Stand the Man. That's just what, five. So we'll see what happens. And just looking to, I'm gonna pull up the Volatile record, and yeah, he really exploded on the scene. And here we go. I'll tell you some specifics. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a only six starts, 5 wins though, and the 1 second, which came in the second start of his career at Churchill last fall, debuted at Ellis successfully. Mr. Dumas was in that race. That's kind of, I hadn't noticed that until now, and has gone on to do some nice things on the grass. The allowance performance, obviously, that started his his 4-year-old season. That was eye-popping. And then came back with the Aristides win, and then the Vanderbilt. So he's got kind of that mercurial record for a sprint type, and it's too bad. At the same time, you know, people say, "Oh, you know, he only ran six times." Well, how about McLean's music? McLean's music ran once, and he's producing, you know, very nice sound horses. So it's not necessarily any kind of reflection. I'll let Sid tomorrow touch on it. And Nicole Russo is going to join us too this morning and see if Nicole's got any thoughts. But volatile, you know, bred by Hillandale should include, and Stretch Run Ventures was a pricey Keeneland yearling, and obviously had the talent, you know, to back it up. So that was the big news that came yesterday that everybody kind of, you know, it's one of those, you know, you're like, because you start to look forward to, you know, I think a lot of people are starting to look forward to the assembly of the fields for Breeders' Cup. So we'll see. And you know, we'll take a look as well. That's typically a Mike Welch category when we start to break down fields. And just looking I'm curious now that this comes up about contenders and who's out there and you know what it could mean for. You know, some horses that might have been considering the Dirt Mile, might have been considering, you know, any filly and mare sprint candidates. Gamine. How about Gamine? But the challenge winners include Collusion Illusion and Vekoma. Then you've got Breeders' Cup is listing Yaupin, the Asmussen, another flashy sprinter, Lexatonian, Jack Sisterson, Diamond Dupes, who, you know, is another one of those types that can go dirt or turf, Complexity, and CZ Rocket. Those are the Breeders' Cup, what they've got listed as contenders, and they, you know, that, you know, their format changes and they add and subtract. So see how things shake out. We still have got what? We've got the Vosburg, we've got the Phoenix, and Santa Anita too, right? So, yeah, so there's at least three preps to come. And that's an interesting question on the challenge series, other wins and ins that would be, yeah, we've got the Phoenix, and we got just on the main track. I'm just looking as opposed to the rest are turf. So just the Phoenix and the Vosburg on the filly and mare side, the TCA. Well, so we'll have to work up. But I guess it's time when we're getting this close. I guess it's time to start putting together our field. I do that at Derby Trail. I keep the field together. Field prospects. Speaking of fields and morphing of fields. How about Jesus' team or Jesus' team, however you, whichever way you want to pronounce it. Jose D'Angelo yesterday said that after the workout that that the Tapicher called put in, that he's going to supplement him for Preakness. So add Jesus' team to your Preakness field, which in the field, they're, Monday is Preakness draw, by the way. And right now, based on Marty McGee's tracking, looking at, you know, perhaps a field of 12, and with the addition of Jesus' team, the decision involving Tis the Law is going to be key, because Ken McPeak seriously considering Swiss Skydiver. But authentic headlining, and also off of a very nice work at Churchill, and Art Collector, Mr. Big News, Mongolian Wind, Pneumatic, most of the ones that are locked in, waiting for Todd Pletcher decisions regarding Happy Saver and Dr. Post. No commitments from Todd Pletcher on that front. And the other, there was somebody else that that I had on this list. I've got to, I guess that Mongolian Wind is coming from, it's pretty funny, from Pacific, from you know, northwestern Canada. Pretty amazing. They're going to, we'll have to go back in the annals to find anybody, you know, involving themselves in this from that, you know, far-flung quarters. So the other, who am I missing? Thousand Words. We forgot about Jorge Ebro with Live Your Beast Life, a supplement as well. So here we go. Authentic, A Thousand Words, Pneumatic, Dr. Post, Art Collector, King Guillermo. No King Guillermo. Mystic Guide is Mystic Guide is non-committal as well. Lebda, Claudio Gonzalez. So figure 10, 11, or 12 for Preakness. And, you know, a very nice assortment on the Black Eyed Susan and card on Friday and all the other stakes. They're also handing out that bonus again, that which is nice, the trainer bonus. We'll talk to Nicole Russo about the doings at Keeneland. Yesterday, actually, it's been really the same storyline through the first half of the sale, and yesterday actually was good compared to a year ago. But you know, the top end super strong, and then the sort of weakish middle part that, at least based on yesterday, a little bit of a firming up when it came to the RNA number. As we've gone deeper, in fact, Nicole noted this in her recap, and we'll let her talk about it, but the RNAs have been dropping as we've gotten further in. And what does that tell you? I think it tells you that, you know, to some degree, what you already No, the people that want big six-figure numbers for their yearling, they're not gonna be undersold. They're gonna wait. But as you get further in, the less, I don't know if I want to say secure, but the portion of the breeding community that needs to turn the stock, that is taking what the market is offering. I mean, that's what, a lowering of the RNAs tells you. Yesterday, 24%. And the first half of book four was 26%. And, of course, the first few days was in the high 30s and even hit 40 for RNAs. So it seems like a lot of this is natural financial market pressures and somewhat predictable on that front. So we'll see what Nicole, what her thoughts are too. And numbers that are not, in fact, thank Eric Hamelbeck with a absolutely germane and salient point that, the reserves are much more realistic. And so if the numbers get to those reserves, the horse sells through. Essentially, the people that are the most financially secure, they're in a position to say, whatever. 500,000 isn't enough. We're not just taking, we're not taking your half a million on your half a million. I'd rather take my horse home than take your 500,000. Yeah. So that's nice. Andy Serling later this morning, and Nicole, Mark Cassie, as promised. We've been promising Cassie for a week. Cassie was crazy busy, of course, last week with the sale, and he wrapped up some of his shopping. He loves that book three, book four section of the sale, and we'll get his opinions. I can tell you one thing. Something tells me he's going to be happy and impressed with the classic empires. Cassie had promised that and had, if you go back to last year, and I'm sure because I think we brought it up at some point, where he we asked about the first classic empires that were hitting the ground, and he had said the ones that he had seen looked really good, and they've sold really well, Practical Joke probably is the of the first crop crowd, that's priced somewhat reasonably, in the middle range for stud fee. He's been the big hit so far. Even today, the next 4 days, books five and six, there'll be some things to watch. But let me see. Practical Joke stands for 25,000. His initial, when these babies were created, he was standing for 30. Now he's 25. But this has been a real home run sale for him. That's for sure. Classic Empire was 35 in 18 as well. And it'll be fun. We'll talk to Cassie next. In fact, in case we can stay here if you want and reach for Mark. While we do that, I'm waiting for a call. I need to do something with my eye so I've got a call in to our eye doctors. So at first I didn't think we were going to have a live show, and because they thought they could only see me at 10. I'm I learned my lesson last time. We're not going to put on. dealing with this. So if they may need to jump out at some point. But right now we got at least half a show that I'm sure of. There's a chance they can take me at one, which would be perfect. But at first they said 10 o'clock. So play it by ear anyway. Got some results to look at as well, and still some of the weekend stuff to close out. But I'm looking forward to a Cassie visit, and was excited, obviously, and pleased. Going back to a week ago Saturday when Got Stormy performed to expectation, and really she was rounding back. It was pretty obvious with that 4-star day performance. But there's been a number of nice efforts from Team Cassie, and after a little bit of a slow summer. So we'll talk to Mark and also get the feedback out of the Woodbine Mile second and thirds as well. Mark Cassie joins us. And Mark, I'm just kind of sifting through a number of results, most notably Got Stormy's win at Kentucky Downs, the near misses on Saturday in the Woodbine Mile. Good morning. Congratulations.
Thank you. Good morning, Steve.
Obviously, also the 2-year-old winner over the weekend, and Gretzky the Great in the summer,
right?
And you're certainly has helped Nyquist's prospects, and Gretzky was one of the early winners for Nyquist, and now a Grade 1 winner. You've been busy at the sale the last week plus. Lots to talk about. Start with Got Stormy, and we'll circle around to the sale. And she signaled kind of a turnaround after some frustrations earlier in the year, and the 4-star Dave effort was excellent, and then shortening up to 6.5. Talk about the ups and downs of the season with Stormy.
Well, it's been frustrating. I've kind of said it all along. She can handle any kind of ground, Steve. It's just the softer it is, the less her distance just drops down. So for her to get a mile, she needs extremely hard ground, similar to what she got in the 4-star day. Not this year, but the year previous. And
right.
If you look at her races all year long, with the exception, I would say, I think when we went to Santa Anita, the ground was extremely, it was good, it was fast. But she did have to ship out. We shipped her out, and she played against the boys on their home field, and she ran well. Her first race at Tampa, there wasn't a lot said, but the turf was so soft that they couldn't even start the race out of the chute like they normally do. They started at the top of the lane. And, she just cannot get that far if the turf isn't really hard. And I thought her race in the 4-star day this year was good. Again, I think the turf was fast, but we were so excited. The turf was so hard all week long, and then of course it rained the morning of the race. So we decided. It's our feeling is that she cannot get a mile at Keeneland in the fall on the turf. Keeneland's fall turf, of course, is usually a little on the soft side. So we were looking at an alternative, and we've wanted a sprinter for a long time. So we looked, you know, the race was 500,000, 6.5, which I, you know, like there, it plays an extra 16th of a mile or so. So I figured it was like running 7/8 of a mile. So we thought it would suit her well. And then, of course, the rain came, and it really came. But she handled that fine, you know, because it was a shorter distance. Tyler was just, Tyler got off and was just all smiles. He said, I could have went to the lead at any time. He said, she amazes me how fast she is. So, yeah, I was very excited and happy with her performance.
Yeah, she moves within 100,000 of 2 million in earnings, too, with that. And, you know, it's kind of nice to run for $500,000 purse. And, you know, watching it, it was clear. You know, it's such a funny place when you're watching races at Kentucky Downs because of, you know, the fact that the camera is going to have to pan, you know, two times up the stretch. And so there was a point where she had kind of not dropped back, but it didn't look like she was making a dent. And then as soon as Tyler asked, she just inhaled the leaders. And,
well, he had her on hold. He had her on hold. He was just waiting to get a clear path. Yeah.
Well, I'm curious. I mean, I know the answer, and I certainly know how Gary Barber was feeling through the, you know, the spring, the winter, and through the, you know, the two efforts at Belmont. But there were plenty of people, Mark, that were questioning whether, you know, she wanted to run anymore. You know, when you would persevere and enter, you know, people were rolling their eyes. Oh, he's just trotting her out there again. So for her to then turn in these two performances in August and September, that's got to be, you know, a bit of a, you know, drop dead everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the good news is Gary and I don't worry too much about what people have to say. You know, I kept saying to Gary, you know, she's as good as she's ever been. She's as good as she's ever been. But the circumstances were, you know, getting her. It wasn't her fault. And it was kind of what our summer was all about in 2020 for the most part. You know, it's just been one frustrating thing after another. I would say, though, you know, we've been fortunate recently. Things have started to come around. Obviously, this late summer and beginning of fall now is, you know, things are working better and the horses are running well. And, you know, you talk about that, and a lot of people had said the same thing about War of Will, and then for him to come and win the grade one at Keeneland was nice, so that was satisfying as well.
Well, and on that topic, it's pretty obvious. I mean, after a crazy summer at Saratoga where, you know, the seconds were, you know, piling up. I think when the wins came at the end of the meet, I think you were up to 9, 10, or 11 seconds. You know,
I think we ended up with 12 seconds.
Yeah,
and like 5 or 6 of them were in stakes. You know, the other thing, you know, for Saratoga, for us, we really don't bring hardly any claiming horses there. We try, you know, we compete for the most part in the, you know, the bigger races, and we do bring a few youngsters. I don't even bring as many youngsters as I used to bring there, and then we do have a few New York breds. So, yeah, we had a great Saratoga in 2019. 2020, I never looked, but even though we only won a couple races, I think if you looked, our earnings there were pretty substantial,
which makes sense. You know, the kind of races, you know, that you're involved in, and right. You know, there's any number of spots to, you know, to kind of weave together, but it, you know, September, you know, has been very strong, and you know, they're Woodbine and you know, anything that you were running, New York. I mean, there's wins. There's also wins that I'm sure aren't even getting noticed, Mark, like LaShara. I thought that was a nice performance.
Day, I told Jamie Begg, who's been a longtime assistant, we won, you know, obviously LaShara won her first, or the first horse we ran at Belmont. And I said, you've just now equaled how many wins we had in the first 40 days at Saratoga. Meanwhile, there wasn't a whole lot said, but we came off. We had an extremely good Belmont prior to Saratoga. So, we had a really good Belmont before Saratoga. So it just goes that way. I've had it, crazy enough, I've had it happen to me at Woodbine. Woodbine's always done, we've always done well at Woodbine, but I've went through times when, I was 1-for-30 or something at Woodbine. I have the utmost respect for Steve Asmussen, and I saw where, I don't know if you put it, maybe it was the right ball, he was 0-for-42 at Oakland. I was like, oh boy, I wouldn't want to be around Steve. I'm sure he's going nuts. And it is extremely frustrating. You know, I've been doing it for 40 years, and you're not changing anything. You're doing the same old thing. I think the first week at Saratoga, I think we had two or three horses stumble at the start and almost, and it just happens, and you just have to persevere.
Well, a couple of Saratoga notes before we also weave in the other Kentucky Downs and Woodbine stuff. Jack and Noah and Proven Strategies, during the tail end, and of course Proven Strategies with the Greens and with the Empire Racing Club, and Jack and Noah, the nice sprinter. We do have to ask you, and Classic Empire is going to be discussed when we talk about the sale, but it feels like Beautiful Memories is having some of those issues.
Yeah, I know. Beautiful Memories is kind of a real head scratcher for us. I don't know if her. I don't know. I mean, she trains. She trains as good as a horse can train. I read the, the DRF. Mike Welch does the DRF, the Clockers.
Sure.
Clockers watch or whatever it is, and I read her report. And I mean, you couldn't ask for a better. I mean, just B pluses, A minus. I haven't seen a 2-year-old get an A minus work hardly. And then, she broke okay. She broke just a little slow, and she went. And anyways, long story short, she's at Churchill Downs back with David Carroll. And we're just regrouping, and she's fine. She's happy and sound. And so we're just going to see. If we make at the end of 2020 most frustrating moments in 2020, she would be number one.
Now, and listen, that stuff happens. I mean, we how many times did we discuss the antics and everything associated with Classic Empire, and eventually that that worked out, and he got his
all along. I used to play golf, and I used to say this is the best way to describe it, as if you hit a ball in the woods, you can say, oh damn, I hit the ball in the woods, and you can get frustrated. Or you can look at it and say, okay, I hit the ball in the woods. Now, what kind of great shot can I hit to get it out? And so that's the way you have to look at it. So when you get a curveball thrown to you, like Beautiful Memories, the only thing you can do is say, okay, how can I fix this? And if you can, there's a lot of satisfaction in that.
A couple of other work our way back, and table Saratoga, Woodbine this weekend, and War of Will. and March to the Arch, you know, had two different potential approaches to the race, Mark, and March, not to take anything away from the winner, the mare is amazing. It really felt like March to the Arch, if he had gotten free and hadn't been a little bit tied up at the top of the stretch, might have actually, you know, contended deep into the wire.
You know, I honestly, Patrick, I talked to Patrick after the race, and he was a little distraught and frustrated, and I said to him, I don't know how many times March the Arch has run where we said afterwards he should have won. He causes a lot of the same, and it's been with different riders, whether it was Tyler Caplione, or I can't even remember all the different riders of it. He causes a lot of his own little trouble because he's not push button. It takes him a little bit to get in gear, and so if a hole opens up, it takes him a second to get to it, and then he starts running. And you know, I watched the replay 10 times, and could he, or you know, and believe me, the mayor's a superstar. Would it have been closer? Oh, for sure. But I don't really know how much more Patrick could have done. Maybe the only thing he could have done was maybe duck out at the top of the lane. And then if he got beat, everybody said, well, he got beat because he went around. So I don't know. I think too many critics are too hard on the riders. So I'm not going to blame Patrick about that. I was very pleased. Olympic runner, he was fourth in the race. He's really coming around as an older horse now for Gary. And, or, well, maybe, you know, Woodbine's turf course is it's a different type of turf. The other thing is he can get a little lazy. You have to get after him. And as we know with the whip rules and at Woodbine, you can't get after him quite as hard. And I'm not so sure that he maybe was cheating a little on us down the stretch, because as soon as passed the wire, he took off and ran off again, which is a little frustrating. But I had a conversation with Tyler Gaffleone right after the race, and he said, I was yelling at Raphael to hit him left-handed, and he said, then I forgot, can't hit him.
Well, that's only gonna get more pervasive around the game. Apparently, difficult. Going forward, how do you handle both of them? And does War do a little bit more back on dirt too? No reason not to, right? Is there anything holding you back now, on that front?
Right now, the conversation is that more than likely War will run in the dirt mile.
Cool.
And then I think I haven't gotten confirmation from the boss, Mrs. Weber, but I think there's a good shot you could see March the Arch in the mile.
Excellent.
And, Gretzky's going to go, obviously, as well, to the mile turf. So.
And talk about his development and you know the stretch out. He couldn't have looked any better.
Now you know what, he's early on, he always showed. We broke him. We got him out of the. He actually was an RNA in the Oktoberfest at Tipton sale, and I think we purchased him shortly after that. Eclipse, Aaron Wellman, and Gary. And we broke him, we did everything. I told him when we go through the horses, I always said he can run. He's a beautiful, beautiful moving horse. He was a little on the short and compact side, so I was a little concerned about how far he would get. But he's gotten a little older, he's gotten a little bigger, and he has the most beautiful stride. And I don't know. He acts like he can run all day long, even after. I think what happened in the summer is as soon as he made the lead, he started pulling himself up, and Kamara kind of tapped him on the shoulder, and he, you know, he laid in, and then Lewis did a wonderful job, Academy Award job. And luckily, though, he didn't get it. He didn't get the trophy. So, but then you can see Gretzky afterwards gallop out very strong.
And the
horse that we ran in there, that was third, Dolder Grand.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
For the Greens, yeah. I think he could be a special horse. Reminds me a lot of War of Will. We ran War of Will up at Woodbine when, you know, he was third his first time out. Was really disappointed in his maiden race. And I was disappointed in Dolder Grand's first race as well. But he came back and trained well. And I thought, you know, his race the other day in the summer was probably better than it looked. He ended up running, I think, about 25 feet farther than Gretzky. And showed a lot of grit down the lane. And he's a horse that's just now kind of catching on. So there's a chance we may take him to the Breeders' Cup as well.
Very cool. And I'm just Candy Ride out of a Tappet mare, $800,000.
Yeah, we brought him in the 2-year-old sale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The horse that went unnoticed that it could be a very serious horse is Slink Links, the filly we ran in the town. She should have won her first start, and we got her. We sent her to Toronto to get her ready for the Natalman. She got sick, so she missed a little time. And with that time, she just hasn't had time to really grow up yet. And she was sitting right behind horses turning for home and in the Natalma. And Raphael tapped her on the shoulder. When he did, she ducked in and almost dropped herself. And he had to grab her. She dropped all the way back, looked like she was going to be last. Then he got her out into the middle of the track, and you'll see she started running again, and she only got beat a few lengths through all that. So she's a filly that I'm extremely high on as well.
Nice. She's a Warfront.
Dairy Bar. Yeah, filly, Dairy Bar.
And she was a 2-year-old, an OBS match.
Gary's had tremendous luck with the 2-year-old sale. It's funny, some people don't have any luck, and they have luck with the yearlings, but, Gary bought War of Will out of the sale in France. He bought Jack and Noah there. He bought Wonder Godot out of the 2-year-old filly sale, in Ocala. So we've had some good luck. Gary's had some good luck with the 2-year-old sales.
Well, and this is to look at that price tag, frankly, feels like a bargain, given that pedigree. That dam was a serious euro. That Sarah Lynx.
Sleek Lynx?
The dam, Sarah Lynx.
Yeah, yeah. She, if she stays healthy, she's going to be a bargain.
And in fact, because I knew the name jumped off the page at me. She came in 2011. She won the Pattison International. She beat Joshua Tree in Treasure Beach.
Yeah,
22-1.
This is a serious filly. She is.
Yeah. Well, with your client list, never comes as a surprise. Sleek Lynx is who we're talking about. Jot it down. I want to ask Mark too about the Singspiel Saturday, because I thought Skywire was kind of clever in there, especially given what is, I'm curious about how you thought the race was run, because I had Kevin Attard on yesterday. They went slow, and especially when Barbara Mitchell ran Admiralty Pier in the mile, it felt like the Singspiel was going to be, eligible for somebody to steal it on the front end. And then, despite going as slow as they did, everybody came from off the pace. It was a very odd race.
I know one that didn't come from off the pace. Us. I have no idea. But that's him. I have no idea. We never know when Skywire's going to show up. I thought going into last year's Queen's Plate, I thought he was the best shot I ever. Well, I shouldn't say that. Wonder Gadot was good too, yeah, when we went into the Queen's Plate. But I thought we had an extremely good shot to win the Queen's Plate with Skywire the year before, and he got away a little bad and got bothered, and he just never showed up. And then I ran him in the Prince of Wales, and he trained good in the Prince of Wales, and he didn't show up. And I sent him home and gave him some time, and really didn't have anything wrong with him. He just, like, he went over the top. And I thought going into the Sing Spill the other day, now I have to tell you this, I ran him in there because there really was no other spots. I had tried him in an open allowance race on the Tapita because he loves the Tapita. It didn't go. And so now I'm looking, and either he has to sit in the barn or we go back to turf. And his turf form wasn't bad. You know, I mean, I thought he had a legitimate shot, and he just went around there, and I don't really know why.
Well, and he moves pretty interchangeably too, turf to synthetic.
Oh yeah, he can do a little bit of anything. So, but some days Skywire shows up, and some days he doesn't.
Well, there's been a number of nice maiden winners, and that includes at Woodbine, Master Spy, and more. Same thing if we go back to Churchill, and you know, you've got really feels like with the fall underway that, you know, the summer's in the
rear. Yeah, we have a few other surprises yet to come.
Some 2-year-olds, you mean?
Yeah.
Now, how about a name?
We have. What's that?
How about a name? How about one or two?
We'll just wait. We'll talk after they run.
All right.
Because for me, I don't want to put that kind of pressure on them because
I hear you.
And I've said all along, winning, I wouldn't, first-time starters winning is never my motive. I mean, if they win, that's fine. But, yeah, that's not something I strive to do. We're more, I like, honestly, Steve, I wish I could get 3-4 starts in every one of my 2-year-olds. I just think it makes them better down the road. And,
sure.
You'll see, our horses tend to get better as they run on. And it's something that I've been doing for a long time. And it works for me. It doesn't work for everyone. And everybody has different philosophies. But hey, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Exactly. I got to ask you about one big price horse that people may have absolutely not noticed last week. Super Dormy at like 40-1, barely missed in that Franklin Simpson.
Yeah, we got unlucky with Super Dormy. He got in some serious trouble at the top of the lane. Had that not happened, he probably wins. Yeah, he ran good. Super Dormy is a horse that we believe that we haven't seen its full potential. And this is the time of year now. He's already back at Live Oak. We like to give our 3-year-olds some time off and bring them back. It worked, it worked really well with Teppan. It worked with Got Stormy. It worked with World Approval. I don't, for the most part, like to run my 3-year-olds against older horses. So all horses need some time, and we're very fortunate because we train for a bunch of wonderful people that allow us to do those things. So he's home. Jack and Noah's back. Jack and Noah is in Ocala. He'll come back in the spring. We feel like Jack and Noah can be one of the best turf sprinters in North America next year. He's back. Old Chestnut went back to Live Oak. And we're starting that part of our program as well. Some of our 3-year-olds that have run pretty hard through the year are now going home and getting some time off, and they'll come back in February and March. I tell you one where she didn't talk about, and I think she's got a good shot to win the Queen Elizabeth, is Hendy Woods. She ran extremely well. Was that the Edgewood, I guess?
The Edgewood, yeah. Well, I want to talk about Derby weekend, too. I mean, yeah, we haven't even gotten to that.
She had, Johnny, she had an extremely troubled trip, and I thought she ran well, and I mean, got beat by probably the best three-year-old filly in turf filly in North America.
Now, Hendy off the Indiana, in fact, it's been a big few weeks for the Indiana program with horses running back and into Derby weekend, a couple of topics. Were you as surprised as I was to see Enforceable where he was into the first turn in the Derby?
Not really. If not many people do, but if you listen to what I had said earlier through the Derby week, I said I think he's fresher and moving. He's more into the bit than I've ever seen him, and I'm a little afraid that he may be too fresh. And so I thought Adam rode him great, but Adam's instructions were, see, we've never taken him back in his previous races. It was never a matter of us taking him back. He would walk out of the gate and then get shuffled back. And so we worked along and hard on, you'll see in the bluegrass, he broke much better. So we, during our time when we had him down in Ocala, giving him time, I did a lot of gate work with him. And so I said to Adam, look, I don't want to take him back. I want you to just let him break and be where he's comfortable. And that's really what he did. He didn't drive him up in there. That he was running, and he ran well. I thought Adam rode him well. He just, wasn't good enough. Had a great trip. Of course, yeah, if we had it all to do over again, and we knew how it would, maybe would we have taken him back a little? Maybe, but I don't think the outcome would have been any different.
He looked so good leading in.
he was sharp. He was on his game. I just don't think he was good enough.
What are you looking at for him for the end of the year?
I haven't really decided yet. We kind of just let him. He's still at Churchill. I have my dilemma now, and that is what I just talked about. I don't like running against older horses.
Yeah.
So the problem is, he had a long break. He hasn't had a lot of racing, and to go and to give him some time off now, I don't know that that's what I want to do. That's still to be determined with him.
How about Tappet to win? Followed up the Jerkins with another good effort. Settled for third.
He's at Live Oak. I think he went over the top a little bit. I think he was tired. He went home, and I think he can come back and be one of the better, probably dirt. I don't know, sprinters, I guess, probably three-quarters to a mile. That would be our goal. We'll bring him back, probably try to get him back to races around February. He went, as soon as that, 2 days after he ran, he went back to Live Oak. Like I said, Steve, this is that time, and we've had great luck doing it this way, and so we're going to continue to do it.
Let me ask you about, before we talk about the sale and some of the starters coming up next week or two, not an obscure question, but the Colleen winner, that chart, the Lee filly.
Mm-hmm.
What she's okay.
Yeah, we're going to give her one more try. Her number was really good on the grass. We're going to run her at Pimlico on Preakness Day, I think it is, or maybe the day before. Is it the Hilltop?
Yeah. Okay.
Great three-year-old fillies.
Yeah.
We're going to give her one more try, and then we're going to run her there, and she's going to go to the old program we just talked about. She's going to go have some time off, and hope to bring her. Hopefully, she could be our next Scott Stormy or Tepin. Both those fillies were just fillies as three-year-olds, and then they become great as four-year-olds. And so you never know which ones are going to do that. But it's my feeling that you have to give them the opportunity, you know, to rise to the top. Most don't, but some do, and we're going to give them every opportunity. Proven strategies, you had mentioned him earlier. Mm-hmm. He's actually in Toronto. He's going to run in the Toronto Cup, which is the beginning of the month, and then he'll go back to Ocala and have some time off and try to become a really good four-year-old.
Nice. All right. Well, that's the rearview mirror. Let's look ahead. And before we talk about the sale, there's some maidens I want to ask you about, including today. Declan is aboard. Declan Carroll on Joe Miner's Melt Proof, the American Pharoah 2-year-old today in Indiana.
Yeah, he's a colt that kind of is just, we've done everything to kind of get the lights to come on, and they haven't. Obviously, we know American Pharoahs are liking the grass, so I can't tell you. We're hoping for the best. We'll see what happens.
That was awfully noncommittal. What the
yeah. Well, that's all you're getting out of me on that one.
All right. Well, we'll watch for him today. That's in the second race.
The only thing I can tell you for absolute sure is you will get 110% out of Declan Carroll.
That's for
now,
sure.
Where that gets you, I'm not sure.
This one catches my eye because that dam, that Jeremiah Rain, was a Watts Humphrey product that
he's beautiful. He's a beautiful horse. Beautiful horse.
Nice.
But, he's in outer space half the time, and we're just trying to get him to wake up and smell the roses.
How about tomorrow? We got the Firster, the Flatter Philly, DJ.
Danger.
This is a
danger.
Yeah, danger yeah. Tomorrow.
We like that filly. She lacks some speed. I think she'll do better as she runs longer. Her workmate was the filly that won the other day, the Nyquist filly. They'd worked together a few times, Seeking Seca. And,
yeah.
I think she'll run well. We think she'll run well. She's ready to run. So
nice. Danger for DJ. And this one was $170,000 OBS.
2-year-old,
yeah, in July, going back, and we'll stay on the front with the maidens because it's always interesting. Looking ahead to Thursday at Churchill, Scarlet Fusion.
Yeah, Curlin Colt belongs to E5 and Stone Street. He's a horse that we think will need a race or two. Probably wants two turns, but it's shown some potential. Yeah,
he's had a bullet going 5/8 and a nice steady work tab.
Yeah, we like him. We think he's got some ability. He's got the pedigree, and my feeling is you get him ready to run, you do all you can do, and then. You run them, and some will improve and some won't. I find usually the more pedigree, the better they get the more you run them. It's sometimes it takes a little while for their old pedigree to come out. And I know I've had some horses that I thought were good horses that didn't have pedigree, and a lot of times they tend to go the opposite direction.
Hmm.
They show a lot of potential to go backwards. I find, not always, but most of the time, horses with pedigrees, as they run, they get better.
Well, you're active at Gulfstream as well, and we've talked a little Belmont. Woodbine gets back underway on Thursday, and a hat full of allowance runners and more. But let's turn our attention, Mark, for the last part of the conversation. Mark Cassie with us, and the sales activity. Book 5 starts virtually now.
Anxious to get out there. This is my favorite time.
Well,
I've been buying out of the Book 5 for 40 years.
Well, talk and a little bit about what you've seen.
I got to buy a few for my biggest owner. My wife.
I was going to say that that's got to be it's got to be Tina. What?
Yeah.
Give us some thoughts. What have you been impressed with? And of course, Classic Empire I referenced earlier.
I've been impressed with Classic Empire. We went out. Mr. Oxley bought a couple. He bought a beautiful, beautiful filly by Classic Empire. And then we bought a really nice colt yesterday. Very impressed. I thought they look good. The Practical Jokes look well. I've been impressed by them as well. We bought a couple of those. We have some serious freshman sires. I mean, Nyquist. Gary Barber, unfortunately, I only trained one of them, but Gary Barber's already got two grade one winners by Nyquist.
It's amazing.
And I think I like what I'm seeing out of the Frosteds. And Not This Time, and who else are we talking about? Just seems like a really, really strong freshman crop here, you know.
You probably will. Do you shop Timonium too?
I don't. I usually don't go up there. I will get people send me horses from there, but I don't. No, I don't. This is for us. The last 3 weeks have been they're the most hectic for us, with especially with the Derby going on, and then the sales. I'm lucky my wife Tina helps me out, and we go through, and this is our draft. What we do now decides how we do for the next couple of years, so it's very important.
And I'm just looking at some of the Oxley purchases, two Classic Empires, actually, a colt and a filly,
right?
Two Practical Jokes, same thing, a colt and a filly, a Mohaman.
Mohamans are very pretty. You know, obviously, you know, that's Enforceable's full brother. But, I bought a filly by Bohemian for Mr. Oxley. That's just beautiful.
And Not This Time colt as well, $220,000.
Yeah, Canadian-bred colt, yeah, out of a Kennedy riding mare. He was pretty.
Very nice. And it's a nice, I think it's a nice variety. $35,000, $100,000, $120,000, $150,000, $170,000, $220,000, and $320,000.
We changed our strategy a little bit. And when I first started training for Mr. Oxley, one of the first horses I ever bought him, I bought him a horse for $25,000. And he said, "Mark, I don't ever remember buying a horse for $25,000." And that was Dynamic Sky. He made over $1 million.
Yeah.
Bought him Dixie Strike, I think, for $40,000. She made over $1 million. And so right now, especially at the top, you know, we've got the group led by Donato that, they're impossible to beat if they want them. You've got Rapoli and
Viola
have teamed together. It's just difficult. And it's so hit and miss with those big horses. So I kind of talked to Mr. Oxley and said, "Look, can we go back to what got us where we were, you know, and let me go and buy horses." And so we're buying horses that maybe don't vet absolutely perfect either. Mm-hmm. You know, I get to use my 40 years of experience of knowing what's worked for us and what can't work for us. And, we bought a colt yesterday that had some issues, and if he hadn't had the issues, he was probably going to be $300,000. And we bought him for $35,000.
How about that?
You know, and so if it doesn't work, you know, it's not it doesn't hurt quite as much.
Right.
So, but if it works, nobody's going to care about those issues, and he'll be worth a lot of money. And so that's, I'm kind of like I said, going back to I've done it for years for my wife. We have a filly right now. You're going to see her. She's going to run in the Jasmine. She may be the favorite in it. I don't know, but her name's Spanish Love Affair. I bought her last year. I think maybe book four or five for nice. Tina for $35,000. And then Mike Hernan, and he kept half of her, and we ran her first time out, and she won by 11, and we sold our part. We don't hold on to them. I'm a seller. And Gary Barber and Eclipse bought her, and she came back and won the stake. She's 2-for-2, and she's going to be probably the favorite in the Jasmine. So, I bought my wife Kagan for $37,000. He made over $1 million. So we do some of that too.
Nah, and that's the fun part. Who's the biggest success on that front of a modest late book purchase turned around?
I'll tell you a funny story. This was some time ago, but I bought this horse for $2,500, and
oh, this is great! You told this story.
Won the million, Jambalaya.
Jambalaya Jazz.
Bought him for 20. Jambalaya. No, it wasn't Jambalaya.
Jambalaya. Right.
I bought him for $2,500, and Catherine Day came up to me and said, oh, "I really like that horse, but he didn't pass my bet." And I said, "Oh, all that stuff doesn't matter." And she said, "Really?" And I said, "You want him?" And I scratched out my name and gave it to her. So we bought Kagan, like I said, I bought Kagan for $37,000. This goes back a long time ago, but I bought a filly called Financing Available. I bought her for $5,000. She went over $1 million. Dynamic Sky, $25,000. I think one day I figured it out. I think I bought five or six horses for less than $50,000 that have won $1 million plus.
That's the part of this that, you know, is really what motivates a lot of people, you know, trying to find that diamond in the rough, and whether it's whether it's a obscure breeding or a horse, like you say, that, you know, that one vet won't pass, but another says, that might not bother him. I wouldn't worry about it. Off you go, and then it never, you know, the potential issue is forgotten about months later.
Yeah, so we'll see. And then, so you never know.
No. Obviously, things really been strong the last several weeks. There are a bunch of maiden winners that are going to start to, you know, work their way into allowance and ultimately stake competition. And then there's all the stake horses that are poised for a big fall run toward Breeders' Cup. Mark, I appreciate it. We had tons to do, and I think we got it.
All right, I got to get to the sale.
Get over there.
You already made me miss a Derby winner.
We'll see. Right. Well, I'll track book five starting right now. Let's take a break. Mark Cassie. Thanks, Mark. Really fun. And I'll do a little summary like I did for Brian Lynch earlier in the summer when Lynchy was on, and we had that litany of horses. In fact, it's funny. It's funny that comes up, because this morning while I was looking, I wasn't really looking for anything in particular, but I was sort of straightening through some piles, and I found it, and now I'm gonna look again. That list that I put it on Twitter, the horses that we had talked about with Brian, because he was really excited about here it is right here. I really should go back and look. Golden Curl was actually an old. Some of these were older horses as well, but the two-year-olds, Performing Arts, Our Integrity, Promise of the Nile, Caribe Bean Mocha. Those were the. Those are the siblings out of Coffee Click, and then he had a couple of others. I'm gonna have to do a whole. going to have to listen back and get all the ones that we just talked about with Mark Cassie. We're going to do more sales conversation because Nicole Russo available to us. And want to get Nicole's weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and might as well fold in Monday. So really a nice book three, book four recap. And Nicole Russo is going to join us. Andy Serling in a little bit. And as I mentioned, I'm kind of on call, so we'll see. Right now, looks okay for a 1 o'clock, so I might be okay. All right, Case, I think we're going to get a show in, as it turns out. All right, back after this, Nicole Russo.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Our Pennsylvania breeding program was, of course, impacted by the pandemic. Now, with our country getting back to work, we'd like to again talk about our program, the best in North America. Our breeder awards will remain up to 50% for PA-sired PA breds. Owner bonuses will also stay at up to 40%. Restricted races will again be run at all three PA tracks, and PA Day at the races will return. I'm Brian Sanfratello. For more, please visit PABred.com.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.